plant your best land first. This piece of land, it's rented, but I consider it mine for the purposes of planting, is likely the best piece on the property. I have to clean up this garlic that you see right in front of you. There's weeds and there's a bit of thistle in there still. And put straw down, but this whole section is what we're going to convert today to food production. Alright, so if you watch the beginning of this video, you already know there's lots of rows going in. This is the kale. You see, I planted it with the growth point just above the soil. I made sure that the soil around the plant, when it rains tonight, isn't going to wash in and cover it. And although you've got a nice straight row of 50-odd kale plants, the fact of the matter is, they have a lot of things to go through. The first thing they're going to go through is cutworms. Cutworms will inevitably just come along and they will bite the stalk off just at the soil level and kill your plant. Inevitably, some of these are going to die from cutworm, and I'll replace them with some plants I've held back. The second thing these plants are going to go through is flea beetle. They're a little black bug that eats your leaves all full of holes. And people are always asking me, what do you do about pests in your garden, Frank? I do nothing, or next to nothing. I let them take their toll. In my experience, if you plant kale early enough, they will get damaged, but they'll grow through it. And once they've grown through it, they'll be strong plants, and they will bear for you for 2.5 to 3 months, if not longer. You just gotta let nature take its course. You may wonder why I stopped planting to till down all of these weeds. I'm of the firm opinion that bare ground is a sin against nature, because nature abhors bare earth. It's a vacuum and nature tries to fill it all the time. And I find that the weeds in the field, especially come July, you'll get to see it a little bit more, but there's such a diverse amount of weeds that are already native in the soil. I tend to just let them grow. I let them do their thing. I'll mow them down, whatever, but I keep my field weedy. However, when you are contemplating doing a seeding, weeds will complicate the process. So what I'm trying to do here is knock them down. There's a stiff breeze today. I'm trying to guard the microphone from the breeze, so hopefully you don't hear it. Knock the weeds down, let the wind hit them a little bit, go in and till them again, and by the time I'm done transplanting kale and lettuce and the things that I'm working on, hopefully I'll have an easier time putting in a little bit of seed before the rain comes tonight. I've now successfully planted 150 kale plants and about 150 heads of lettuce of various kinds, mostly leaf lettuces because they will bear the longest. You don't have to pick the whole head, you can just keep picking leaves off them. So there will be more there than I can possibly eat, and so we'll supply some other people. And I'm starting into seeding now. I've got a half row Swiss chard, which will bear leaves all summer long, well into the fall. And then beside it, where the string is, are two different types of peas, which we'll eat some of them fresh, of course, because they're nice and sweet. They're like candy. But the rest will go in the freezer. We'll grow them for freezer storage, and that'll be what Junior eats in the wintertime or later in the fall or summer. What I'm about to plant now is snow peas. But I realized as I'm going along, you're going to probably watch this video, and it's going to be short on the hands-on instructions that my wife gives you. And I wanted to explain a little bit the reason for that, and maybe I'll just be sort of the farmer philosopher and she'll be the one that gets into the specifics. I have no idea how this is going to work. What I do know is I woke up this morning, I looked at the weather, because the weather is only accurate for about 30 to 36 hours, and even then it's largely not inaccurate. It's very inaccurate, actually, but you can make good gambles on 36 hour weather reports. And so there's rain coming, and it's coming tomorrow, and it looks like it's going to be significant. And then looking ahead over the next 6 nights, because I focus on the nighttime temps. I don't really focus on daytime temps, because overnight is what will kill your plants. Nothing that happens through the day, generally speaking, I mean, hailstorms and all that aside, will kill your plants. It's all about that nighttime low, and the lows look good. And I'm not seeing a lot of high wind inbound. And the frost, we had frost again last night, but it looks like the last one for a while. So these plants, though they haven't been hardened off in the greenhouse at all, they're going right from the greenhouse into the ground. The gamble that I'm making is that over the next 5 or 6 days, the shock that they will experience will be mitigated. They'll get over it, and they'll be growing by the time they might face something different. I might get burned, but with how cold this spring has been, I'm going to make the gamble that we're not going to get as cold as it's been again. We'll have a night of frost. We always do. Maybe we'll have 2 nights of frost. But I don't think we're going down to -5 again. And -5 is where these cold weather plants will suffer the most. It'll kill them right off, actually. So anyway, the course of the day and the reason I stopped the time-lapse photography and why I haven't done more of this, and the only reason I'm doing this right now, is I'm getting to a point in the day where I am dragging my butt up and down these rows. Nobody wants to see that anyway. And honestly, if I sit here for 5 minutes recording this, I might actually move a little faster when I get back up. But that's the reason there's going to be nothing fancy today. The goal is to plant as much as possible, because my game is getting good clean food for my family and for larger purposes. So the weather and the farm run you. And your garden should too. I mean, a littler garden, a smaller garden, or a patio garden, the philosophy still applies. Look at the weather, look at the conditions, try and look ahead at what's coming and take advantage of those situations. All right, so it's the morning of May 15th. It's 7:30 in the morning. Today is switchover day, where I go from being up late at night watching the greenhouse and working down here to being up at a decent hour and getting back to the normal routine that comprises the other 11 months of the year. Anyway, I just wanted to show you. Got a little kitty. This is a stray cat. I credit this thing with the lack of mice, chipmunks. This guy and an orange cat. I don't know what they are. This one you can get up kind of close to. It won't let me get all the way there. But you see, it's got some trust. Not once I start that tractor, though. What are you doing, kitty? Yeah, you look like a killer. Anyway, got a couple hours before the rain starts, so I'm going to get some more seed in.
I think kitty's sticking close because I found a dead mouse, proving that this cat's worth trying to keep around. As I've already noted, I've only got a couple hours, so the objective here is to plant beets, spinach, carrots, whatever else I got in that bag that I can't think of right now. So we'll get that in. Hopefully over the next 2 or 3 days of moisture, we'll get some good germination and off we go.
Now just quickly, obviously there's a couple different ways you can do seeding. I talked in a previous video about how I would be using the seed drill. The weeds here complicate that a little bit because they'll get bound up in the blade that actually splits the soil where the seed goes in the ground. So I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. And what I like to do for most things, hopefully you can see that on screen, but I just sort of dig a little trench with my hoe and I try to flatten it out. And then I will actually plant that fairly wide. Like I will plant that the width of the hoe. So 4 inches, 5 inches. And I'll just lay the seed on top of that. And then I'll bury it over. And it will germinate in a wide swath. And it'll make the first weeding a pain. But say if I put beets in here, which is the plan, and they germinate fairly well, I will have a beet patch that will bear pretty much all summer long, as long as I maintain it. That first weeding is going to be key, as it always is. See all those little seeds? Those are all beets. They're put in there really thick. You would not put them in there that thick if you were using new seeds. This seed was packed in 2015 and 2016, so I don't know how it's going to work out. If the germination ends up being great, this will be an extraordinarily thick patch. But I hope to just get something out of it. And we'll save our new seed for the next time. There are a lot of seed-specific and circumstance-specific decisions that are made, which is why it's so hard to develop a total set of rules for how to farm, because what you're going to do every given day is influenced by all sorts of things. I'm going to plant carrots right now. This is new seed. I'm planting old seed with the other stuff, and I have old seed of carrots. The old seed from other stuff that I'm planting, I'm only doing because the new seed I can sow anytime between now and July, mid-July, and get germination and get a good harvest off it. So I've got time to play around, which is why I'm going with old seed. But with carrots, first off, I'm only going to plant a small section of this row in carrots because carrots are soul destroying to weed. You do not want 200 feet of carrot that you have to weed by yourself. It will ruin your life. So I'm only going to have a little bit. And they're quite fussy when it comes to germination, at least on this farm. You want what we're going to have, which is 3 to 4 days of moisture. They're very thin. They start very small, which means that's why weeding is a nightmare, because the weeds all grow faster than these do. So it's going to be a small section. I'm going to use new seed here. Hopefully I can get germination, and I'll try some experiments with the old seed a little later on. Again, carrots, there's lots of time to plant these too. Like, you could plant these well into July, maybe even August. August might be dicey, but July for sure, if you have the right conditions. So there's plenty of time, but I want to try and get a catch. The carrots are now planted. They're not hoed over yet. And I just discovered I had these with me. Look at that price tag, $165 for 25,000 seeds. These are golden beets. They're beautiful. They're worth the money. But they weren't in the budget for me this year, but luckily I've got seed from previous years. We're going to try it out. Hopefully we get something. All right, those golden beets are now in. All I got to do is hoe back over the row. But I wanted to pause for a second and talk about being realistic on the farm and maybe being realistic in life. You'll note that yesterday, at least in the footage that'll be included, I said I did not have time to make videos and screw around because I wanted to plant. And I did that. I set my goal, which was plant until sunset or your body needs to retire for the day, and I achieved that. Well, now I'm up in the morning and it's not raining yet, so this is bonus time that I wasn't counting on getting. I figured it would be raining by now, so yes, I could race and make sure that I get every second out of it possible, but I already did that yesterday. So today, because it's bonus time, is a little bit more enjoyable. So I get to film these and talk to you guys. I get to plant whatever I want. And by the way, I've got a little bit of that golden beet seed left, so hopefully, I can get a crop of it later, too. In general, I just hope this whole thing works. And I want to note, too, my presence out here in the field
was relatively unexpected. It was not part of my plan to do a big garden this year. My plan was maybe to have a couple tomato plants and a little patch, maybe a quarter the size of this full, you know, and maybe the size of the greenhouse for fall crops. I'm doing this out of an abundance of caution, out of concern that the food supply might not be what we're used to come winter. And the worst thing that's going to happen here is that we augment our food supply. We have a surplus that we have to do something with. And we've got some exercise. That's really all we lose here. On the other hand, if it works out that you get fresh produce is hard to find or things have really skyrocketed in prices, you're that much better prepared for having done it. So this is a zero loss activity. Yeah. So enjoy your gardens.
These are our currants and Hascap berries. The currants are on the left, Hascaps are on the right. What I'm going to be doing is putting down a layer of cardboard and straw to try and smother out this grass. I did it before a few years ago around the currants, and I'll show you what that looks like now. As you can see, there's significantly less grass growing here. This is where the cardboard and straw was versus over there where there was not. You can see it's almost all completely broken down. There's soil just underneath the surface here. So I'm going to be putting down another layer of straw and cardboard. And not only does that help to smother out the weeds, but it also helps keep moisture in the ground, especially in those dry years where it's really important. This is the Hascap bush, and as you can see, there's blooms on there already. It won't be long before we start getting fruit. Okay, so you want to make sure that you're pulling off all of the pieces of tape and plastic off of the cardboard, otherwise it's all going to end up in your garden. And then you want to overlap the pieces of cardboard. You want a couple of layers so that it takes longer to break down, but you also want them to hold each other down. And you want to make sure that any gaps or holes in the cardboard is covered by another layer of cardboard. Generally speaking, I'm trying for at least two, sometimes three layers of cardboard. And then right in close to that plant, you want to still give it some space to breathe. Okay, so the straw is starting to go on. You want to make sure that you are overlapping the cardboard. You don't want exposed pieces of cardboard because then the wind can easily lift it up or you can trip over it, lots of things. So you want to make sure your mulch, your straw, whatever it is you're using, goes all the way to and past the edge of that cardboard, just a little bit. And I'm putting a nice thick layer on here. And then as you put on straw, you just keep adding more and more cardboard as far as you're going to go. And again, you want to make sure that you're putting the cardboard under there. You want to tie all of it together so it's one big sheet covering the ground. All right, and there's the first section of straw and cardboard down for the Hascaps. I've got a little man who needs a nap, so I'm going to call it quits for right now. And I'm sure I'll show you this as I keep going. Okay, so what you see coming out of the ground here, and we are still in the currant patch, just for reference, this is called comfrey. Now, anybody who's familiar with this is going to know what I'm talking about right away. It is a perennial, I guess you'd call it a weed if it's an undesired plant. It spreads like wildfire if you cut up the roots. The smallest little piece of the rootstock will spread, and we made the mistake of tilling some up in this patch before we realized A, what it was, and B, what we were putting here. So now we're in the process of trying to deal with this massive patch of comfrey. It is so tough to stamp out. We did have cardboard. As you can see, there's a shard of cardboard here. This comfrey pushed right up through it. So what I'm going to try and do this year, as you can see, is use landscaping fabric. I'm not confident, or sure, actually, sure is a better word. I'm not sure it's going to work and really suppress it, but at the very least, it's going to help keep it a little bit more under control. I'm going to put multiple layers over top of it, trying to really limit the ability the plant has to push through and to get light and nutrients and all of these things. So we'll see what happens. I'm starting to run low on cardboard and I have other purposes for what I do have. So I'm going to use the landscaping fabric, especially around the currants, where before I did have cardboard and there's not very much in the way of other weeds coming up, as you can see there. So I'm going to put the fabric around these plants and hopefully stamp out this comfrey, put a nice layer of straw on to weigh it down, and we'll see what happens over the course of the season. Maybe it still won't work and I'll have to come up with something else, but we're going to try this for now. So you can see that I've crisscrossed and overlapped this landscaping fabric. I'm not going to make it so thick everywhere, but there's an especially dense patch of comfrey right here. So I'm really, really trying to make sure that that's covered. All right, so I'm pretty happy with the progress I made today. It's just about nap time now for a little man, so I'm gonna go in and do that. And we'll see you next time. So we had somebody in the comments ask if we put a fan in the greenhouse to help circulate out the hot air. What we've actually done is install these windows, or vents as we call them. Down at the far end, you can see I've got two open. And then in the middle of the greenhouse, dividing the little and the big one, we have more vents. I'm just going to open this one. And this pops out completely. And now you can see all the way through. Down at the far end by the door, we've also got four vents that can open. Here's our window box again. Radishes are getting quite full. We do have some new germination on that spinach seed there, which is a good sign. All right, so here's an example of some tomato plants that are just duds. I don't know why this happens, but there's no center growth point on this one. This plant, you can see there's a center. It's growing. Let me see if I can. You can see that center growth point, the leaves in the center that are growing up. You can tell that it's just going to keep producing new leaves from the center. Whereas this one, there is no center. We have one leaf coming up from the main stalk, and that's it. There's no central growth point. It's just a leaf. The potatoes are continuing to get bigger and grow. I'm really excited to see what they do, actually. Our onions have all been moved out to the big greenhouse now, partly because we're running out of room in the little greenhouse, but also because the weather is starting to get to the point where it's not going to freeze too badly in here. And on this side, we've got all of our brassicas, and the lettuce will shortly be out here. The celery is starting to get nice, big, true leaves. All right, and these are eggplant. So you can see, nicely rooted. I'm just going to transplant them. These are the eggplant. And I swear, since I potted them up a couple days ago, they've grown quite a bit. They're looking wonderful. This is holy basil. I'm not sure if I talked about this when I was seeding it, but holy basil is something that you actually make a tea out of. So you harvest the leaves, and you can do it fresh, but I tend to dry them. And then you make a tea and you add a little bit of honey, and it is so wonderful if you have a bit of a cold or if you're congested or even if you're just looking for a bit of a pick-me-up. It's got a really lovely flavor. If you haven't ever tried it before, I would suggest it. These are English cucumbers we're going to transplant today. As you can see, these have much more developed roots. I'm a little bit later transplanting these than I was some of the others, but it's still fine. That isn't too tight of a root ball. Again, with vines, you do not want to mess with these roots. Just take it out as gently as you can, plunk it into the new soil, and let it do its thing. Thank you. These are the three remaining boxes of perennial seed that I was trying to germinate, trying to hold out some hope. The rose and the angel rose have nothing. And just this morning, as I was just about to dump these, I spotted in the purple heuchera those seedlings. I hope you can see them there. They're really small, but it won't take long for them to catch up to everything else. Here are some of the sunflowers that I tried to germinate a few days ago. As you can see, germination is a little spotty, and that is totally anticipated because I was using old seed. Only one in that tray. This one did a little bit better. A couple in this one. And as you can see, this one here did really well. That's the seed sunflower with the edible seeds, so I'm really excited about that one. As for the rest of them, I might just sow some more in a couple of days. We have multiple asparagus beds stretching straight out down the center of the screen. You can see all the dried fronds. This is an asparagus patch that we have done an abysmal job of upkeeping, but the asparagus is starting to come through. So as I'm harvesting it through the season, I'll try and clean up as much as I can. It's hard to tell for all the grass and weeds, but straight ahead as well is another asparagus patch. This is purple asparagus.